such a greedy fellow. It is, instantly that reaction will come out, you know. So your desire may get full, one or two desires may get fulfilled, but there is no end to this greed. And what is greed? Greed is excessive desire for acquiring things. And the total opposite is, what is total opposite? Satisfaction. And what is satisfaction described as? Satisfaction is described as a feeling of content on fulfillment of one's desire. So, we see this greed was not so much in previous ages. As the Kali Yuga is progressing, greed amongst the people is also is increasing day by day. There is a story from Mahabharata. Mahabharata happened in the Dwapar Yuga. So after Pandavas won the war of Kurukshetra, and then Yudhishthira Maharaj was going to perform Rajasuya Yagya. So for this Rajasuya Yagya, he really needed lot of wealth, because this is not an ordinary Yagya. This Yagya, it was declaring him the king of whole planet. So he had to do many sacrifices, give many things in charity, and they had just got over with a war and lot of their wealth was over. So he told Arjun that you go to Himalayas and get wealth. So one will wonder, where is wealth available in Himalayas? But in that those ages, Brahmanas were given lot of charity, Prabhupada says. And they were given charity of cows, gold vessels, gold ornaments, during various functions. Whenever Brahman would perform some puja, then they were given lot of charity. But Brahmins that time were not very greedy, and they would visit lot of pilgrimage places, and one of that was Himalayas. So whenever they would go to Himalayas, they would just leave the excessive things, whatever they would not require, they would leave it there, and they will come back. And they will live very simple life. So Arjuna went there and got all this wealth. So this is quite unbelievable, but this actually would happen in the previous ages. And what is nowadays, one of my doctor colleague, he was telling me that he just got one patient. This doctor colleague is a physician. And he said that he got one patient, he came with blood pressure problem. Young person, just 30 or 32 years old. And he said that, I am very unhappy, very unsatisfied. So doctor said, what is the problem? So he's saying, actually my company, I'm working so hard, my company, so doctor asked him that, what is your salary? You are working so hard, so you must be getting a handsome salary. So yeah, company is paying me just 24 lakhs per year. And this fellow is not satisfied. He's saying, actually I'm working so hard, I should be getting 30 lakhs per year, you know. So per month he wanted extra 50,000 from the company. So this is the scenario in Kali Yuga. And it is said this want is a growing giant. It will get never satisfied. And nowadays people are willing to do anything to get things. In old times there is a proverb that if wealth is lost, nothing is lost. If health is lost, something is lost. But if character is lost, everything is lost. But in modern times, that proverb has become totally opposite. So they say, wealth is lost, everything is lost. Health is lost, little thing is lost. But character is lost, no problem. Don't worry. So like this. So we all are facing this phenomenon of excessive desires not getting fulfilled in our day-to-day lives. And the law of economics says that there are limited resources, but desires are unlimited. So it is not possible to whatever desires are there in your heart to fulfill every desire. That experience all of us has got. And this greed is, so today we are going to discuss what is the cause of this greed, what are the consequences, what are the negative effects that we face due to this greed. And what is the solution for this greed? So we'll see at various levels the consequences of this greed. So we will see directly how it affects our body. How physiologically this greed is affecting our body. So because of this greed, it is very well known that people are getting stressed and they get many diseases. And also one of the main diseases is ischemic heart disease. People get heart attack and then they die. And also, people are so much wanting to satisfy the tongue. Nowadays, meat eating has become very rampant. And this meat eating is causing lot, it causes actually various, many diseases, starts from cancer of the intestines, right till the ischemic heart disease, and it can ultimately lead you to death. And this meat eating, just to satisfy their tongue, people are just willing to do anything. They're slaughtering innocent animals. Actually, we all don't know, but when an animal is slaughtered, actually the actual meat, to describe in very gross form, but the meat is becomes very pale once the animal dies. So they use, the industry use the preservatives and chemicals to preserve this meat. And these chemicals, it gives it a red color. So it looks very attractive and they feel it is fresh, but it is not fresh. It is quite putrefied in a sense, you may say. And this chemical actually is having addicting effect. Once you start having the meat, then you will have continuous desire to have again and again and again. And also just last month, I read in Times of India magazine, Times of India newspaper, that they said that this meat eating is one of the major cause of global warming. They are saying because so many slaughterhouses are there all over the world. And what you have to do to maintain the slaughterhouses, there is great amount of fuel is required. And there are air conditioning projects, big, big, huge ones, you know, all over the world. And it is causing one of the major effects of the global warming. So this is one of the physiological effect, and next consequence will be financial due to greed, you know. So this is very interesting because there is one very, very famous person in the United States of America. His name is John Scan. So he did his PhD in very different subject. He did his PhD in gambling. Very unheard of. PhD in gambling. And furthermore, he did also his very, very interesting. He found an institute and he named the institute as PGRI. Any guesses? What is the full form? The Public Gambling Research Institute. This is actually existing in United States. And what do they do? They actually research how it is affecting people, how many people are involved in this gambling in United States, and how it is affecting their day-to-day life, their physical health, their mental health. And they found that 60% of the adults in America, they indulge in gambling somehow, somewhere in their life. And some of them continue, usually most of the time, once they get involved in the gambling, it is very addicting and they get involved. And what are the ill effects? It gives rise to dishonesty. First thing, gambling means dishonesty, because in order to acquire money for gambling, you need a lot of money. And you want to have it fast. So for that, you have to be actually very dishonest. Without that, it is not possible. Second effect is it gave rise to the increase in crime rate was maximum once the casinos in United States are flourished. Why? Because one of those customers, one of the main customers to these casinos are mafias. And there's a very close nexus between this mafias and casinos, because money, paise ka len den, you know, so millions and billions of dollars there is turnover. So this is effects of gambling. And financially, how it affected our corporate level, we hear so many scams. Just recently only it is over, Telgi, everybody has heard his name. He did this Gotala of 35,000 crores, not rupees. You cannot imagine. Just add the number of zeros and you will be amazed. You cannot understand how much wealth it is actually. And ultimately, what is he going through now? He's got all kinds of problems. Heart problem, liver problem, kidney problem. And he's hardly able to enjoy even one, hardly any money of that. So also, 10-15 years back, there was Harshad Mehta scam. So he also cheated many people and do turnover of crores of rupees in stock market. And few years back, there was an Enron scam affiliated with United States of America. So there was a, in India, there was a billboard that India is a college of corruption and USA is university. That is what it was written. That is how, because the you learn everything from there. Because everything in India, people are just wanting to follow the Westerners. So this also they are learning gradually. So how this way, and politics, no explanation is required. Corruption is rampant. And politicians are just wanting their seats so that they can just grab lot more and more money of innocent citizens. So how it is affecting next level is the social level. Social level, because of this greed, character is not given a preference. And everybody, all young generation, wants to have a fast money. People want big amount of money and not wanting to work very hard, and at the same time it should come very quick in your life. This is the motto in young generation. And few years back there was a raid by police at one gangster's house, and then they found one box. This is a very interesting story, because in that box there were a lot of application forms. How you go to college and you apply, I want to take admission in arts, I want to take admission in science. You fill a form up once you passed SSC. So these application forms were written to this gangster to involve them and to train them in his profession. And these were very young people, very young boys. And even if one of the, some of these people were just, had just passed 10th standard. So you can imagine that because people want to earn money so fast, want to become famous very fast, so they are willing to do anything to do that. And even to have a career of criminal, they don't mind. And at the familial level, there is no scarcity of cases of women harassment due to dowry. Everybody knows in India, that's not a new thing. It's happening since so many years, or maybe centuries, and now it has become more rampant. So, all due to greed. And last consequence we will discuss is what is happening at emotional level of the people. Actually, when I was in, I had just entered in college. That time there were no mobiles. Technology was not very advanced. So what is the purpose of the technology? We should advance in science, we should advance in technology, that people should be more happy day by day, people should be more satisfied day by day. But that has actually not happened. People's faces look more dissatisfied day by day. That time when you would travel in train, there would hardly any sights occur. But now, not every station, between the station also, no reason required. Fights are there in ladies' compartment. If it is not there, you should wonder why it is not there. It is like that. So, people are very dissatisfied. And all credit goes to whom? Media. What is media projecting? Actual work of media, like television, magazines, newspaper, what is their function actually? To show to the general public what is actual life, what they should be doing, what is the correct thing, what is the reality of life. They are supposed to project these things. But the our great television, it has come in each and every person's heart. Even you go in Jhupadpatti also, there will be television. They will not be having enough food, but they will be having color television with all channels. So, what happens because of this television? The psychologists nowadays have described one syndrome, the modern psychologists. The syndrome is named as beautiful people syndrome. And the what is reason, root cause for this syndrome? Our great television. So why? Because what is television showing actually? It shows all the time beautiful people, it will show. It will show all the time very rich people. All successful people in life, successful in everything, in their profession, in their family life, everything. And they will show premarital affairs, post-marital affair, all these things. So when you continue to see these things repeatedly, it affects your thinking pattern. When you are seeing it repeatedly, hearing that repeatedly, it will affect your thought pattern, your mindset, and you will actually start thinking that my life should be like this. And then people start comparing, they start expecting, TV mein aisa ho gaya, mere life mein bhi aisa hona chahiye. And what they think, now this female, 2 years back the serial started, that time was she was very poor. Now she is moving around in Mercedes Benz, she is married to one of the most rich person. But is that reality? It's not reality, it's just an illusion. But that girl will start thinking, in my life nothing is happening. I'm still traveling in train only, still doing the same job. So this phenomenon is called as, actually named as post-TV depression. When you see television for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours continuously, then there's continuous bombardment on your, you should be rich, you should be good looking, you should be very, very wealthy and successful businesswoman, like that. And then if that doesn't happen, then people go in depression. So continuously people are worrying. It is said that worry is like a rocking chair. Keeps moving, but it doesn't get you anywhere. If you keep worrying things, things are not going to happen on its own. You have to do something. But when you worry, it is just affecting you. So one boss, he thought that I don't want to worry anymore for my business and for my office and all. So he called his secretary and he told secretary, today I am changing your post. Your post from tomorrow will be head worrier. You have to worry about all my worries. So secretary says, this is quite unheard of, this kind of post. But then what profit I'll get by doing this, So saying, don't worry, I'll increase your salary by 3 times. Secretary said, wow, 3 times, I don't mind. Anyway, I was worrying for all his worries already. So it's good. So saying, so boss, when will be my first salary paid? Saying, that is your first worry. So like that. So this worry, if you keep worrying, nothing is going to happen. It will just affect you physically, mentally, everything. And here, that is what we are teaching, how to overcome these worrisome thoughts. Because this worry has nothing to do what is around you. It has all to do what is within you. So we have to understand that principle. And all this is because of, again, negative effect of the greed. And the list is endless. Greed is causing air pollution, water pollution, so many things. People are poor, they are malnourished, all because of greed. And it can be, we don't have so much time today, but it is quite endless, the list. So one has to really think that what is the cause actually? Why all these things are happening? How the greed is affecting me? One should actually analyze and try to understand. So one should understand from where this greed has come. So this, when this universe was created by Brahma, the greed also was created at that time. And this greed was created from mode of passion. Mode of passion means enjoyment attitude. That whatever you see first time, whatever you look at first time, whatever comes in your eyesight first time, immediately want it and you want to enjoy it. And in city of Mumbai, we all have this experience. Mumbai is having maximum density of billboards on the roads and compared to all the major towns and cities all over the world. Here, every step you put, there will be new billboard. You cannot just escape any billboard anywhere. Standing on railway platform, there one billboard will be there multiplied by 20 times all over the platform. So you just cannot accept. And what they are doing, all these billboards, they are just bombarding your mind. And what is this billboards about? Expensive clothes, okay, get this. Expensive shoes, get that. Expensive jewelry, expensive car, and latest electronic goods, latest mobile, with latest technology. All these things, it is, and again, it is started now up to foreign tours. That also they are advertising now. So when you continuously keep seeing, then it is affecting. You start thinking about it, and then immediately you want it. This is called enjoyment attitude. And then what happens? Once you get that desire that I want to do it, I really want to do it. There is no, and I have the power. I am educated, I am going to earn money, and somehow or other I will fulfill all my desires. But does this actually happen? You ask anybody. If you want to, I know one girl since many years, she just wants to have a foreign tour. And for that, she's trying so much, saving money, this, that, but just not happening. And her whole concentration is on that foreign tour. I want to do that. So what happens, when you concentrate on that desire and you repeatedly are thinking of it, and somehow that desire is not getting fulfilled, so you develop that hankering for it. And once you start hankering, desire increases more and more and more. So it becomes, initially it was little bit, but later on, just by contemplating on that desire, it becomes too much. And when desire is not fulfilled, what happens? One becomes very frustrated, angry. So we have to understand this whole principle. Our one of the very senior brahmachari, Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he always narrated this story. That when he was in school, they had the cricket team and they were playing on the pitch, and somehow somebody found a stone, and then they saying this stone is going to obscure our cricket, so let us remove it. And they started all their efforts in removing. They started digging, and once they started digging, the stone started becoming more and more big. It was like a pinpoint, little bit on the top. But when they started digging, the stone at the base was very big. And ultimately, when they removed the whole stone, they realized that actually they have destroyed the whole cricket pitch. So whatever is seen up, we may feel that I have one small desire, let me just fulfill. But it is not actually like that. In our heart, there are unlimited desires. You will not be able to even, trace out how much they are and how deep they are. But that one desire you will want to follow, fulfill, but that will never happen. Because another one is ready. Zoop, 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 one by one they are ready, you know. So just like the example is given, if you go in ocean and if you are observing, on the top some fishes you may see, one or two fish. Have you gone in deep in the ocean, or you have seen some documentary on the television? So they show that one fish is coming out of the water, again going in, isn't it? The dolphins, they come out of water, they go again inside, like that. But what is actually, is that the only fish which is in the water? At the base, in the ocean, there are unlimited fishes. There is no trace, you cannot even count it. So that is the condition of our heart. Fish is compared to a desire. You may feel that today I want to do this. But in your heart, there are unlimited desires. And so what to do about it? What is the solution? So you may study arts, you may study commerce, you may study science. But none of our academic books give solution for this kind of problems. Solution is given only in scriptures, which are coming from our ancient times, our Indian culture, our Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. All these scriptures, they actually give solution. And what is the solution? How they will describe the solution? They will describe in Srimad Bhagavatam that this desire what you are having is like an itch. Anybody has experienced itch? Please raise your hand. Any time in your life. Khujli kabhi bhi aaya hai? I already had many times. Okay. So, what happens when you start having itch? You scratch. But for some time you feel very nice. Okay, now scratching sensation, itching sensation is gone. But after some time, what will happen? It will become more stronger. That craving for itch, it will become more stronger. And again you scratch. And again for some time relief, for very little time. And again you keep scratching like that. And what happens ultimately, without knowing it, your that area will become red. Isn't it? And if you have long nails, what will happen? What will happen? It will start bleeding also sometimes. So, Srimad Bhagavatam says that our desires are like this. And fulfilling our desire, trying to fulfill our desire, putting an effort to fulfill our desire is like scratching an itch. And what is the cause of the itch? Skin disease, right? Down, somewhere down in the skin, there is some infection, some fungal infection, bacterial infection, which is causing this symptom of itching. So root cause we have to treat. So first you have to treat the disease, and then meanwhile you are treating the disease, you have to control your itching. If you are taking medicines for that skin disease but you are continuing to itch, then what will happen? It will not give desired effect. The drug will not actually give desired effect so fast. So Srimad Bhagavatam gives very wonderful formula. How you can do this? First you have to control and conquer these desires. Shashi Radha Gopina asked you. So Bhagavatam gives very wonderful formulas. That this itching is due to disease. Like that, in our heart also there are many diseases. There are 6 diseases. And the major one, very prominent ones are lust, anger, envy, greed, illusion. All of us have experienced these things sometime in our life. May not be all the times, may not be all the times you feel lusty, may not be all the times you feel angry, may not be all the times you feel greedy. But sometime lust is very prominent, sometimes greed is very prominent, sometimes anger is very prominent, sometimes envy of people, how people can get better than me, you know. I should get it. How my friend, she was studying in same class as me. She has studied same hours during exam as me, but she got more marks. How can she get? So this envy comes. And this comes in everybody's heart. And this is one of the diseases, very, very severe diseases, which is there in our heart. Bhagavatam describes. And Bhagavatam describes very wonderful formula, how you can come over all these anarthas. So it is describing that asankalpa jayat kama. Kama means lust. And you can come over, you can win over this lust by having determination. Having strong determination. And then artha anartha iksha lobham. Lobham means lobha, greed. How you can overcome greed? Artha anartha. Anartha, what artha means the wealth. And what anartha it is causing in your life? You have to understand that. So you have to discuss what are the ill effects, what are the negative effects this wealth, this money is causing in your life. And if once you start discussing, contemplating on it, then you can overcome this phenomenon of greed. And what you should discuss? Bhagavatam is saying very nice verse. Arthasya sadhana siddhe utkarshe rakshane vaya kam upbhoga ayasya trasa chinta matir ninam. So Bhagavatam is saying that it is greatest illusion if somebody is thinking that just by getting money or just by getting one object I am going to become very happy, because this is not true. And Bhagavatam is describing what happens in the whole process of acquiring wealth and everything. He's saying, arthasya sadhana siddhe. Sadhana means while the time of earning. Then siddhe means once you have acquired the wealth. Then utkarshe, once you earn the money, then your desire to keep increasing. Today I have 1 lakh balance in my bank. I have to make it 10 lakhs. You keep investing. You start looking for better jobs, which are better paying, like that. Then what is the next stage? Once you get lot of money, you have to protect it. protecting it from so many people, right from family members to income tax department officers. You have to actually protect it. Otherwise, what will happen? It will just go. Hard and money will just go. And vyaya means once you, that stage also, if you if somebody has so much wealth, he is not bothered about protecting also. They just throw money here, there. They'll pay for 1 kilo of apple, they'll pay 200 rupees. Like that. They just throw because they have so much excess, they don't know what to do with it. Spending is also a problem. Once you get so much money, spending is also a problem. Now you all are students, you will think that Mataji is thinking, how she is telling like that, you all need money. But you ask all those people in your family, some people must be elderly people, what experience they are having. Same experience what Bhagavatam is describing. First, there is a lot of effort in earning the money. Then, once you have acquired, there is earning more and more. Then you have to protect it. And then, spending is a problem. And then what happens? Bhagavatam says, Kama Upabhoga Asyaya. Saying, once you acquire money, you try to use it for fulfilling your desires, one after another. But what happens? Tras chinta matir ninam. Tras means suffering, distress, and chinta, anxiety. In the whole process, not a single stage, it is without any distress or anxiety. While earning money, while spending it, or while protecting it, wanting to increase your bank balance, all these stages will having, you will experience this distress and experience this anxiety. That is why Bhagavatam is telling that you should not think these things are required. Obviously, these things are required to maintain your family, maintain yourself. You should have some savings for emergencies in future. So all this is required. But one should not think that once I get money, I am going to become happy. That is end all and all. One should not think like that. A very funny story, but this is a true story. So one old couple, they had a lot of money and they were on race course and they were betted on one horse. And that horse was not very prominent, not very strong, not very good runner. But somehow that day, horse really ran very fast. And he won also. And they got check in the hand. This old man, he got check in the hand. And he saw the amount which is written in the check, an amount of the zeros which are written behind the digits, you know. And then immediately, it gave him such a shock, he got a heart attack there only. And he was actually falling down, unconscious. And his wife, old wife, was right beside him. And he started falling, so his grip became very loose. And check, chut gaya haath mein se. It started flying in the air, check. So wife was wondering, she was looking here, no, whom to save, you know, like that. It became such a confused, she became quite confused. And that's why if we may earn a lot of money, but if we don't take concrete steps, to how to deal with it once you acquire, then you will experience these things, tras and chinta, as Bhagavatam is describing. Continuously this will be experienced. And then the word like peace, satisfaction, these words will remain mysterious only. Nobody can give you peace. No money can buy peace. Any money can buy satisfaction, peace. Any power, any political power can buy, any of your property can buy peace, satisfaction. No, it cannot buy. So how you should put a, now this is very wonderful Bhagavatam is describing, but how we can practically put in our lives. We have to understand few principles, how you can practically put all these principles in our life and actually experience peace, satisfaction at the end. So the very first principle which is described, we should apply in our life, is serve others. Start giving things. Start doing charity. Only thing which we are taught from the childhood, that whatever you get in your life, just grab it. Take it from yourself. Don't think of others. Very few people think like that. But Bhagavatam says that you should serve others. You should start serving others. And actually, those who are doing service, you can ask social service, so many people. So you can ask them, who is more happy? Person who is receiving service or person who is performing service? And always, it is the person who is performing service will be always very happy and satisfied. And the very common and very prominent example on this planet is Mother Teresa. She is no more now in this world, but she has performed such a great service to poor people, sick people, needy people, that she is remembered, and what the satisfaction she got in her life, in her heart, you cannot compare anything to it. And she was just few years back when she was alive, our Guru Maharaj Radhanath Swami, His Holiness Radhanath Swami, he visited her in her center. And then they were just discussing. And Mother Teresa said that actually there is no lack of money in this world. In Bombay also we see there is no lack of money. If you see, go in Jhupadpatti, they also earn 5,000-7,000 in a month. In my mother house, our person Kamwala, maid servant, his family earns at least 6,000-7,000 per month, and they are having mobile phone, they are having a bike to come to the work, Kamwala. So there is no dearth of actually money. That is not a cause of the poverty. Mother Teresa said very wonderful thing. She said that actual poverty is of heart. Actual poverty is of heart. You have to understand that. And once you, if you become rich in your heart, then you will find satisfaction everywhere. Peace everywhere you will find. So for that, what you have to do? You have to start giving. As you saw in this wonderful drama, these girls, Lavang Manjri and all her friends, they performed this drama. So this merchant was, he did so many wrong things, he did crime, so many people died in the towns and villages because of his impure oil. But then he was given choice, three choices, isn't it? And he could have very well paid off the 20,000 gold coins in the beginning and get off totally. But just because of that greed which was there in his heart, he suffered so much, and ultimately he lost the money also. So every time we are getting a choice, and then we are thinking, how much I can maximum take out of this situation? How much I can maximum take advantage of this opportunity and get for myself? I always think of myself, 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 I self. I is always the center. This is called egocentric attitude. But Bhagavatam says that you have to little bit change your thinking pattern, and you have to think about others, serving others. And then Krishna also in 10th canto, he's very nicely, very beautifully, he's describing one verse. In that he is describing glories of trees. All of us have seen trees right from our childhood, but how much we have thought about trees? So Krishna is telling to his cowherd friends, he's saying, just see. He's saying, Paschat Eta Mahabhaga. This tree is a very, very great personalities. Why Krishna, God himself, is telling that these trees are very great personalities? Why? Because he's saying, Parasya Ekanta Jiva. Their life, there is no other reason. Their life is meant only for others. Only for serving others. They are full-fledged, 100% dedicated to serve others. There is no other purpose in their lives. And in order to do that, what all they have to go through? So Krishna is telling, Vat Varsha Tapa Himansha Sahanto Var Yantim. Yantim means, like great sages, they are always tolerating. Vat Varsha Tapa Himansha. Saying they are tolerating great kind of winds, tycoons, hurricanes, they are tolerating heat, they are tolerating cold winters, heavy rainfalls, heavy snowfalls, and while tolerating, they tolerate, but they don't complain, first of all. And after all that also, whatever they have, they give it to others. Whatever fruits they have, whatever leaves they have, and while in that process of tolerating also, they are giving shade during the heat, they are giving warmth during winter, they are giving you shelter. All of us have experience. If you don't have umbrella and it starts raining, what do? Go and stand below a tree. At least for some time, you will be protected. So these are the trees. Krishna is telling they are very great personalities. And by this discussion, Krishna is giving very, very firm importance to this principle of giving. So one day you should start giving. And how you should start giving, he discusses. And this is also, this verse was also quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna came himself, but just 500 years ago, Krishna incarnated himself as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he also endorsed this verse. He quoted this verse. And what is this verse? It is telling, Etavat janma safalyam dehinam iha dehishu prane arthair diya vacha shreya acharam sada. Etavat janma safalyam. If you want to make your life successful, your janma, your birth, safalya, successful, what you should do? All of us are born right from our childhood. We are wanting to make success in our life, isn't it? All of us, who doesn't want to be successful in the life? But Srimad Bhagavatam gives a formula how you can achieve that success. Dehinam iha dehishu. Utilize your body in service of others. Utilize your body, human body you have got, you should utilize for service of others. There is a difference between animal body and human body, isn't it? So many animals are there, humans are there. We are different, isn't it? What is the difference? Animal body is still useful after death. But human body is useful after death only for some time, maybe for some organ transplant or something. But immediately, people want to get rid of that body. But what happens to animal body once they die? We are using leather in so many forms. Leather, right? Starting from below. Leather shoes, leather belts, so many things. Leather gloves, leather jackets, leather pants, so many things. Like that, so many things you can describe which are made from animal once they are dead. But humans are useful only when they are alive. So you should make maximum use of your body when you are alive. So how you can make this maximum utilization of your human body when you are alive? Krishna is telling four things you should do when you are alive. Prane arthair diya vacha. One should utilize body. Prane means life. Arthair means money, wealth. And diya means intelligence. And vacha means your words, your sound energy, what you speak. You should use all these four things for doing good for yourself and for doing good for others. So Krishna, this is secret of success. If you start, we have to do in our normal lives, it is not, Bhagavatam is not telling whatever money you have, you just distribute, give charity. No. We have certain needs in our life. We have for our family, our economic needs are there, our emotional needs are there. So nobody is saying, give it up. You should have a good job. You should have good money income every month. But you should understand how you should rightly use these assets. And there you apply this principle of giving. Start this principle of giving in your life. So Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada says very wonderful story. There was one beggar. What is job of a beggar? Goes to each and every house and begs. And whatever he gets, uses for the bodily maintenances. So this beggar was given, he was in village and every day he would get something and he would fill up the belly. So once he reached a house and there that woman was in very foul mood. She was very angry mood. So beggar knocked the door and woman opened. And he asked, Bhikshan Dehi, please give me some charity. So this woman came and she came and threw ashes in his jholi. So beggar didn't say anything. Thank you, mother. He just left. Again next day he came. And next day, this woman, after this beggar, she was just wondering why this beggar acted like this, you know. Anybody will, immediate reaction will be this, that if you don't want to give, at least don't give ashes. Just say, I don't want to give. But this beggar came back and she questioned him, what is the secret? Why you were so peaceful? So the beggar is telling that today, at least yesterday you gave something. You started giving. Yesterday you gave ash, today you will give cash. So at least you have started giving something. Prabhupada says that at least that woman started giving something. So we have to apply this principle of giving in our day-to-day life. And then we will experience this wonderful benefit of getting peace and satisfaction while doing it for others. Next principle is that avoid meat eating. Why? Because what are you doing to satisfy your tongue for eating meat? You're killing innocent animals. And one cannot get satisfaction at the expense of killing others. If you're killing somebody, some living entity, some poor animal is slaughtered in the slaughterhouse, and then you are trying to enjoy that, by eating that you will never get satisfaction. And what are these living entities? All these animals, they are all children of God. Krishna says, Aham Bija Pratapita. I am the seed-giving father of all living entities in this world. All living entities are my children. So if there is father and son standing on the road and you go and shake hands with your father, hello, how are you? How are you doing? And then you slap the son, thadak karke. You start beating the son. What father is going to give you some award? He'll immediately be very angry with you. He's not going to be remembering your shake hand and all that. He'll be really upset and he also may slap you immediately. What are you doing without any reason? You are just beating my child. So we have to respect all living entities, and for that one should stop this meat eating. This is a basic understanding, and there are n number of disadvantages which meat eating gives. Today time is limited, so we will not discuss that. But one should understand this principle basic, at the basic level, that this is why we should not eat meat. We should give it up. The next principle is train your mind in satisfaction. Teach your mind how to get satisfied. Why? Because in 7th canto of Bhagavatam it is written, Sada Tushta Mana. Tushta means one's mind who is always satisfied. He may go anywhere, he may travel anywhere, he may face any situation, but he will always experience auspiciousness, good things, if he is satisfied within. So it is described, and the comparison of this is done, when you are walking, you have to be very careful if you are barefoot, isn't it? If you are not wearing chappal or shoes, then you have to be careful that where you are walking. If you are walking on this nice wooden polished floor, then it, without carefree, you can be just carefree and walk. But if you go to some construction site, if you go to some field, you have to be careful that where you are walking. Otherwise, thorns will enter your feet and it will hurt you. But what will happen if you wear chappals and shoes? You can be carefree and you will be unaffected wherever you go. So the analogy is given to mind, that mind is a foot and satisfaction is like a shoe. We have to cover our mind with the shoe or satisfaction. And then you will be peaceful anywhere in this world, during any situation in your life, one will be peaceful. And that doesn't mean that you just be satisfied, don't do anything in life, don't have any ambition. You should have ambition, but use it in the right way. That is what our Vedas are telling us. The next principle is that equip your intelligence with the spiritual knowledge. He's saying the spiritual knowledge from where you get, not from your books of commerce or arts or medicine or engineering. You get spiritual knowledge from scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. All these scriptures are giving us spiritual knowledge. And when you again and again hear it, then it will insulate your mind. It will equip your intelligence and it will insulate your mind from getting affected from so many disturbing influences in your life. Why? Because what are these shastras teaching? These shastras are teaching that God is all merciful. He does only good for all living entities. And every living entity should feel grateful. One should be grateful. If one is not grateful, if you don't have any feeling of gratefulness in your heart, the feeling of satisfaction will never come. So we have to thank God. And for that, why we should thank God? That knowledge is given in these scriptures, Vedas. So the young people may think that what is all this? This Vedas and Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, it just gives theoretical knowledge, not at all practical, but it's not like that. From this temple, so many devotees, grahasthas, brahmacharis, they hold so many seminars all over Bombay, even in corporate world. And then who are the people attending the seminars? Big CEOs, big managing directors, and they all are actually frustrated with their tensions and anxieties in life. And they are actually putting in practice these principles given in Bhagavad Gita, and they are experiencing great peace, great transformation in their life. So one should not think that this knowledge is impractical and one cannot apply in life. Just by looking at others, there are three ways you can learn things. What are the three ways? By experiencing, by seeing it, and by doing it, isn't it? So by hearing, if you want to experience fire, if somebody may tell you, don't touch the fire, it will burn you. Saying, I don't believe. And then child goes and puts the hand in the fire. So he is immediately burnt and then he will learn. Fire gives burning. But the parent, father or mother has told him that don't touch the fire. That time he did not learn. So the best way to learn is by hearing. And what we hear from, it should be from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. They give us all this knowledge and we should apply it in our life. And the next principle is spiritualize your desires. Now it is not possible to give up all these desires. It's not possible for anybody. We have so many desires, but we have to make our desires spiritualized. We see this, there is ice and water is the same thing, isn't it? But it's in different form, under different circumstances and under different conditions. So ice, if water is there, boat can float on it, isn't it? And if ice is there, if the iceberg, boat hits the iceberg, what happens? The ship will totally get destroyed and sunk in the ocean. Most of you might have seen that movie Titanic. What happens in that? There's such a very expensive first ship where all the very rich people of Britain, they were traveling, and it hit the iceberg, and then whole ship was demolished and so many hundreds of people died. So same thing, water in different form. So material desires is like that. If you have material desire, try to fulfill it, then you will sink. And if you spiritualize your desire, then you can float on this ocean of material existence. Then next is, there is one story. One boy was very much impressed by one guru. So he approached him that I want to become your disciple. And he said, I am your aspiring disciple. Please instruct me, how should I lead my life? So the guru said, okay, come and sit in my room and just observe what is happening. So they were sitting and then one family came on the gold plate. They got many assorted things, sweets, fruits, like that, and it was covered with a nice cloth, and they offered to Guru. And what Guru did? Immediately he grabbed it, didn't even look at those people, put his chadar like this on the plate and started eating. And then once the plate was over, he kept the gold plate himself for himself, and then now you can go, Guru said to these people. And then once they left, so he said to that person, that boy, go and find out what is the reaction. So saying, this Guru is too much. First of all, we have got a gold plate in that, so many things. He is eating immediately. He is not bothered. Who are we? Why we have come? What is the purpose of our coming? Not asking anything. Immediately eating everything, keeping gold plate also. Too much. Then next person comes. Next family comes. Again with the same things. So what Guru does? Saying, Hari Bol, how are you? He started asking everything to these people. And simultaneously, he was throwing things off. How are you? One apple out. His plate is in front of, how are you? What is your children doing? How is your job doing? So he threw everything in different direction. He was simultaneously talking, but just throwing things. And again, when they left, boy said, they are wondering, too much you are, you know. You're not intelligent at all, you are. So then third, one couple came, husband wife, and then they said, when they sat down in a plate, then Guru said, how are you? Very nicely, lovingly, and he thanked them. Thank you so much for getting this for me. And then you also take from this one banana, he gave one apple, he gave to the wife. So, and very nicely he treated them, and they went, and then they were very satisfied. So after all of these people left, Guru taught him the lesson. What was the lesson? He's saying, first person, when they came, saying our relationship with God is like that. He is giving us so many things. But sometimes, without realizing it, we are just finishing everything. And we are not even acknowledging that He is giving us. God has given us air. God has given us water. So many things starts. So many things, list of unlimited things. But we are not acknowledging. Second is, what was the second family when he did that? Some people acknowledged, but they said, I will not take this. They just refuse to accept those things in their life. They are impersonalists, they are called. And they are saying, I will not use this, I will not use this. God has given, but they are not grateful. And third person, when they came, that person came, the Guru was grateful. So when we are grateful and offer the same thing to the God, whatever He has given, then he will be very satisfied. Okay. So similarly, whatever we eat, one should offer to God and then eat. Then when you offer to God, God is removing sinful tendencies from that food. And then whatever you eat, you will experience the spiritual energy. Just start doing that at your home. And you will experience wonderful results in your life. So one should eat prasadam. And last is submission to God's will. Will of the God we should recognize and we should surrender to it. It is said that submission to the will of God is a softest pillow on which one can rest. If you just accept whatever God has given with grateful attitude, gratefulness in your heart, then you can peacefully rest. And this Krishna has told, and same thing, Krishna has told the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. He is saying, just surrender to me, whatever you are doing in your life, just do it as an offering to me. Make your life as an offering to me, God is telling. And same things, when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also endorsed the same thing. And how we can do it? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he introduced this chanting of holy name. What is this chanting of holy name? So when we chant the holy name, we are actually giving a lot of pleasure to Lord within our heart. When we are chanting this Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. When you are chanting that Maha Mantra, the Lord within your heart is very, very pleased and He is very satisfied with you. And when Lord in your heart will be satisfied with you, you will automatically experience that pleasure. It is when you see, if you have plants in the house, do you, if you put water or the leaves, then will the plant survive for longer time? It will not survive. You have to put water in the root. You have to satisfy the root. Then all the branches, leaves, all will get nourishment. So similarly, Lord is within our heart. We have to first think, that is first responsibility of a human being, to satisfy Lord within our heart. And by chanting holy name, that is very simple method. It's very easy. In Kali Yuga, this process is made very, very easy. Just chant the holy name, and there is no fast, hard and fast rules and regulations for this chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, there are no hard and fast rules for this chanting the holy name. You can chant anywhere. But chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And by chanting that, all the treasure of peace and satisfaction within your heart, they will just erupt from your heart and they will give you eternal peace. So just to summarize today's lecture, initially we discussed what are the negative effects of greed. Then we discussed what is the cause, how this desire is desires are unlimited, how they are affecting us. And then we discussed what is the solution. We have to control and conquer this greed. And how, for applying this solution, what are the principles we have to apply in our life? Start serving others, start giving, avoid meat eating. Third thing, spiritualize your desire. Fourth thing, train your mind. And fifth thing, read scriptures, insulate your intelligence with spiritual knowledge. And six, submission to will of the God. And if you follow these principles, there is 100% guarantee Srila Prabhupada gives that nobody can stop you from experiencing this phenomenon of satisfaction in your life. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Kalindi Mataji. I'm sure you all have a look of satisfaction on your faces. It's amazing how the scriptures tell us the secret of so many things. Actually, secrets are meant to be told one to one, but this becomes open.